Quicken the simple little verse, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, each of you filled out a little piece of paper this morning, and you've simply finished a sentence. You finished a sentence. You have a need this morning. I have a need this morning. I need the power of God in a particular area. We saw all kinds of power going on here. Natural power, man's power, harnessing electricity. The matter is, because of what he did, there is no way that your sickness, that your sin nature can hold you captive, can bring you down, unless you allow it to. So what an exciting God we serve. We want to take a look at the power sources for us humans, okay? Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 says this by the great Apostle Paul, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And that which I want to do, which is good, I don't find a way to do that at times." So he's recognizing that with his mind, he knows what he should do. Today it was kind of neat the way, you know, our brother made the announcement about grades, a little bit of time left, you know, and how we would like to have better grades. And if not, we'll just keep the ones we have, you know. But it'd be nice to have those better grades. And somehow, you know, along the way, we either tap into that power to do our best, or at times, you know, maybe we miss that power. I'm going to tell you three little scenarios here, and you have multiple choice answers. Oh, I made a sheet with A, B, C, and D on it. I left it at home. Anyhow, A is this, human power. The answer could be human power. The next one is God's power. And the third one is demonic power. Okay? And these are all true stories. All right? So, first story. You have to give me the answer. A, human. B, godly. Or demonic. One day, I stepped out on my roof with a tray in my hand, a mortar board full of cement, and I was going to fix my chimney because the bricks were falling off, okay? So I crawled out of a bathroom window on the second story so I could get on the first story roof. That's what it was laid out. And I started to walk toward the chimney, and there were bees everywhere, swarming around, just like in the cartoons, you know, it's one like that. And then they'd smell somebody like me, you know? They like Italian food, and they come buzzing around me, right? At that very moment, I turned around, and I thought, if I don't act like I'm nervous, maybe they won't get it. So I turned around very slowly, and I crawled back in the window. I looked out at the window, and I thought, Lord, I know you want me to fix this chimney. And instantly God said, take dominion over the beasts of the field. I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Take dominion over the beasts of the field? And it was like, yeah. So I climbed. I said, okay. I started praying, you know, singing to myself. You know, and I climbed back out that window. I got back on the roof. And I walked right through those bees. And I worked for about an hour. I fixed that chimney and didn't get stung once. Okay? Was that human power? Yes or no? Was it demonic power? Was it godly power? Okay, very good. Second story. You guys are getting all the answers right so far. last week in Costa Rica, I walked into a room of a church. And we were all ministering there, and there were a lot of young people. And we were all in the sanctuary, but I went through this little door to get a bottle of water, because it's cooler there. And as I walked in, I looked, and I saw a teenage boy and a teenage girl. They were both 15. And They both were reaching into the cooler at the same time. And I'll be the boy, pretend the girl's over here. And as he reached in the cooler, she reached in the cooler, and they looked at each other, and their lips met, and they kissed each other. And they went down to get the pop, their lips stayed connected, they got their pop, they reached, they didn't take their eyes, you know, their eyes were closed, obviously. And they got up, and their lips were still connected. All right? It was the funniest stinking kiss I'd ever seen in my whole life. Both had their pop. It was so funny. To me. To them, it wasn't so funny, because when they got all done kissing and they opened their eyes, there I was going. And what was even funnier is I had my camera. And I wanted to take a picture of them so bad. But I thought, that wouldn't be very nice. So I put my camera away. But, oh my goodness, I really have to deal with that issue. Okay, was that godly power? Demonic power? Or human power? Right, human power. Okay, very good. There was this human attraction, you know, that they couldn't resist, you know. They were there on this mission field to help other people, and they were helping themselves to each other's lips, obviously. All right, the third story. I knew a woman from a little island in the Mediterranean. She was engaged to this man, and she was going to marry him, and the whole family was happy, you know. But she didn't feel right about marrying this guy, so she fell in love with another guy, all right? And their families were all, like, totally happy with it. However, the ex-boyfriend's mother was really upset. So she hired a witch to cast a spell on a wedding gift that she gave to this couple when they got married. So everything seemed fine at first, but after a while, she had this gift in her house that a spell had been cast into this by a witch in that little third world country. Strange phenomena began to happen in her house. She'd be walking down the stairs and she'd feel somebody push her down the stairs. And she wasn't there. She'd be cooking in the stove and she'd stir the water a little bit, take the spoon out, and the water would keep stirring itself and spill over the edge. You know, start going faster and spill over the edge, try to burn her. All right? This is a true story. I know this lady. And we had to deal with it according to the way they dealt with things in the early church. The gift had to be burned by fire. And she found herself in the presence of the Lord week after week. And that evil thing was broken. If you're going to Costa Rica, I don't know. Is it? No.
Puerto Rico.
Okay. In some of those cultures, those things still operate. But the power of God is greater. Okay. Was this a demonstration of God's power? Can't hear you. No. Was it a demonstration of human power? No. Was it a demonstration of demonic power? Yes. Okay. So we need God's power in our lives. Power is God's idea. Just this morning, I was talking to my wife about this message. And I read a story. Happened in 1844. In Egypt, there was an expedition of English explorers, and they got into this mummy pit, okay? It was a pit where all these mummies had been buried about 3,000 years earlier. And in one of these pits, they found a vase, and it was sealed. I don't know how, but it was sealed so you couldn't get inside of it. They shipped it back to Britain and to England, and they have a wonderful museum in England full of these artifacts. However, when the librarian was cataloging this particular vase, she dropped it. The vase broke. And inside the vase was a grain of wheat and two peas, two shriveled up peas. So she took them and she planted them in soil. She covered them in glass, created a little greenhouse, and put it on the windowsill. And those seeds, although they were 3,000 years old, probably from the time of Moses, they germinated. I began to think about that. You know, Christ came with the seed of his word. About 2,000 years old now. What is it going to take for the power of that seed of his word to germinate today? It's going to take the right soil. The right soil and the right conditions in that soil. Who can tell me what is the soil? Jesus told us a parable. Where is that soil today that his seed of his word is planted in? Where is that soil? Who can tell me? What is the soil? You have an idea?
No.
Yay, you're shy, aren't you? Go ahead. Do you know what it is?
No.
Can you guess? You have no idea.
No.
None at all.
No.
All right, let's pray for him. All right, who else? Where is the soil today? What did you say? Did you point to it? Yes, we are the soil, okay? Where does his word abide? It abides in our hearts. Very good, okay? His word abides in our hearts. All right? Now, when the conditions are right, get this, because Jesus said, greater works will you do than I have done. He said, I give you a new commandment, love as I have loved. When our heart conditions are right, his word is going to spring forth in us. And the world will see again, not some dried up shriveled pea, not some tiny microscopic mustard seed, not a corn of wheat, but they will see the kingdom of God. Because that is the true seed that changes everything. Very, very exciting. Very exciting. So let's take a look at some Bible accounts. Power according to the Bible. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, he said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, and I will abide in you, the same brings forth much fruit. And the very next sentence is incredible. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Let's repeat that little phrase. For without me, you can do nothing. Let's say it again. For without me, you can do nothing. The heathen do not have the Lord. But do they accomplish something? Yeah, they do. But it doesn't amount to anything. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing worthwhile that counts forever. And so we get excited when we read these. Because Jesus goes on and he says there, if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. They are burned. I had a huge apple tree. Still have it on the side of my gallery. And a delivery truck came one day. And it was a huge truck, and he hit one of the branches. It was a bough. It was like that big. Broke it off, and it was just dangling there, kind of dead, you know, like this, just flopping around. All the leaves began to wither, and that branch could bear no fruit. Jesus says, that's what it's like for you and me if we don't abide in him. Without him, we can do nothing. And then in Romans 8:11 it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, we saw slides, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. God has promised in his word to give us power. Now you've all filled out a little piece of paper there, okay? And maybe you don't really want everybody to read that. So let's do something. Let's trade that around, okay? You have to swap it around. Give it to somebody behind you or in front of you or next to you. Let's just get those moved all the way around, okay? And, yeah, there you go. You have one? It's in the box.
All right, here you go. Hand that to somebody else.
The mine and box. The mine and box. We're there.
Let's pass these around. Swap around.
Give me mine back. Okay. So, give me the one that I have.
There you go. So what I'm going to do is have you read these. Because there's no sense keep swapping them around. Keep moving them around. Because there's no sense in me talking to you today about power unless we recognize that we absolutely have to have it.
Steven, don't give me mine, the one I am. She said, give me this one.
All right, when the music stops, you stop. Now, I don't know everybody's name, so I'll tell you what. I'll have. Do you know everybody's name?
I don't have any.
You think so? All right, what's your name? Eric. Okay, Eric's going to help me out because I don't know everybody's name. All right, so he's going to pick the first person. You're going to read what it says on this, okay?
No, Eric, no.
Because this is where we need the power. All right, you ready? Okay, Eric, pick somebody.
No.
Chris. Okay, you sit down and Chris will pick the next one. Who's Chris? All right. Chris, what do you have there? What does it say? Oh, wow. I need God's power to be nice to my parents. Okay, Chris, pick somebody else. Eric, what does yours say?
I need God's power to pass band in English.
Whoa, pass band in English. Okay, we need God's power. Okay, Eric, pick somebody else other than Chris. Pick a girl. Jennifer.
I need God's power to teach others.
To teach others. Okay. Boy, that's an anointed. Okay, pick somebody else.
I need God's power to help me from temptation.
All right. That's so important. So important. All right. Could you pick somebody else, please?
Oh, me.
Yes.
Kathy.
To what? Ooh, yes. Okay, Kathy, pick a boy.
I need God's power to listen.
To listen. Wow, that is so important. If we don't hear, then we can't obey, all right? We can take the rest of today, the whole day, and just go through all of these incredible needs that we have here. Now listen, you've got somebody else's piece of paper. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to pray for that person. Maybe you know whose it is, maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. Okay. We won't do it right now because I want to finish what we have to look at here. Alright? So we'll just we'll continue with this and take a look at a couple of things. God's Word says that He promises. Alright? In the book of Acts, well, we'll back it up. In Luke 24, Jesus said, I will send the promise of my Father to you. He told them to stay at the city of Jerusalem until they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you shall be witnesses, ladies. You will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that means to live out your life in such a way that others can see that power. That's what God has for us. Listen to this verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 39 from the NIV. The promise is for you. The seed may be old, but the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many words he warned them and he pleaded with them. And this is what he said: save yourselves from this generation. That sounds odd. Save yourselves from this generation. Somebody's prayer request was for victory over temptations. How many of you face temptations? Raise your hand. Okay? Let's put them down. We need the power. And the scripture says, not so much that you can literally save yourself, but you can respond to God, and by your choice, your free will to respond to Him, He will give you the promise of this power so that you live a different kind of life than you would otherwise. Jesus said, abide in that branch. Remember my broken branch. It's the only way you can bring forth life. Here he's saying, save yourself. In other words, if you don't take the steps, you might lose yourself. You might face great loss in this lifetime, which is a great gift to us. There are many other scriptures and pictures and a lot of background that go into this, and I have a problem as a teacher giving too much detail, so I'm avoiding some of those. But basically, out of John chapter 7, in a nutshell, it was the last great day of the feast, and Jesus took a pitcher of water and he poured it out. It was part of their ceremony, but he wanted to give new meaning to it. And he said that out of our innermost being would flow streams of living water. And by this he meant that the Spirit would be poured out shortly after he left. And the Spirit of the Lord is your provision today. And I love the way Jesus puts it so very plainly. We'll look at that in just a little bit. You know that if we ask, he will certainly give it to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5 says this: for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power. The idea is this: what we believe as Christians is not just a lot of words. It's not just a thick book with a little print. But if it's real, if it's really real, then it's going to be demonstrated in how we live, because we have the power. We have the power. The power is. My granddaughters were about 2.5, 3 years old. And I believe this when they were that age. They're now 4. And they faced some fears. Fear can boil down to a genetic code. Well, they've inherited this genetic code of fear. We know exactly where it came from. And so we had 15 cats at one point. It wasn't a choice that we had. We're not into breeding cats. They just know how to do all that on their own. And so we ended up with an awful lot of cats all over the back porch. And so they would look out the window, and they would see that they look soft and fluffy. So they'd want to pet the cats. So we opened the door, and they'd freak out, because the cats would all start coming toward them, because that's where the food comes. So, you know, when you're this tall and you have 15 of these animals approaching you, it gets kind of crazy. So, brought them in the house, and I said, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. They did not say, amen, Grandpa. You know, they didn't respond like that at all. I said, girls, you have got the power. Your father is the king of all kings. He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. His name is God. You know, should you, as the daughters of God, be afraid of the little cat? You know, it all made sense, but you open the door and they're like, so I said, repeat after me. I've got the power. So they're saying, I've got the power. Say it again, louder. I've got the power. And they go, I've got the power. So I knew that the cats were going to freak out, right? I knew the cats were more afraid of them than they were of the cats. So I said, okay, now, next time you say, I've got the power, why don't you stamp your foot? It's a wooden porch, so they go, I've got the power! Smack, you know. And so I got them to do it at the same time. And so they walk out on the porch, and at first they were a little scared, you know. I've got the power! You know, they stomp their foot, and the cats go running. I said, oh, it works! You've got the power! That's what the scripture says, you know. Now, they began to believe me. They believed what it says. And I said, you've got to believe it as well. We've got the power. Because God has promised it to us. Now we need that right soil in our hearts. Now the sad thing is that there is a denying of the power. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't really always live in victory. There's been great provision to us, but we haven't gotten a hold of all of that provision. You see, it's there, but we haven't always tapped into it. This is brought out perfectly clear in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6. For this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous, they'll be high-paying jobs, boasters, brethren of Hakuria, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, who have prayer requests along the line to earth, unthankful for the tremendous blessings we have in this country, and unholy, you know, a lot of perversion going on. Without natural affection, truth breakers, say one thing, do another, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Going to church, singing, raising your hands, the right bumper stickers, going to retreats, visiting mission fields, doing all the right things, having a form of godliness, and yet denying the power that can transform us in our hearts. Last week, I climbed a volcano. It was pretty fun. The volcano was smoking, you know, and at night you could see a little drizzle of lava coming down one side of it. And we got to the top of the, not top, but partway up this volcano. And the only way down is either walk, which by then you're too exhausted, or take 15 zip lines down this volcano. So it was awesome. I mean, 15 zip lines, you know, hanging on, you know, and flying through the air. It was just really cool. Except at one station they had a Tarzan rope, where you get off and you grab onto this rope and you swing way, way out. You swing back, you swing out, and you have these little Costa Rican guys who grab your legs and finally pull you in, only to face about another 5 zip lines to the bottom of the volcano. It was cool. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be great if this volcano just kind of like did a little something special for us? I mean, we don't want to die. But we just want to go home, you know, with like a really cool story. Yeah, Mom, oh, the volcano, you should have seen it, you know. It was like spewing lava, you know, spewing up in the air. It's like awesome. You know, I mean, you can just hear kids going back with that story. Well, one night, I was sleeping at the base of this volcano. And all of a sudden, and I hear this huge sound. I mean, it was big. It wasn't like a train coming at me. I had that happen. It was bigger than that. It was bigger than that. It was huge. It was like, okay, I'm going to die. Forgive me for everything I ever did wrong. There's no way around this. Well, in the morning, I'm checking with everybody else. Did you hear that? You know, and they go, yeah, what was that? I think it was a volcano. It turned out. So we found out, and it was. So, this volcano had a form of volcano, and it sounded like a volcano, but it never really did much. Yeah, it never really did much. In my cartoon imagination, I envisioned this volcano going, getting all kind of worked up, and then it just spits out one little lava ball, and it comes rolling down the hill all hot and hissing, and I'm sitting on my lawn chair, and it lands right there, and it just sizzles right out. You know, not a whole lot of action out of this volcano, okay? Another thing was off were these monkeys. We're on this river, on this boat, on these rafts, okay? We're having to raft away down this wild Costa Rican jungle river, right? And all of a sudden, I don't know why they start up, but these monkeys start up, okay? They don't sound like monkeys, they sound like apes! They sound like they're monstrous creatures! No kidding! The voice is just humongous. And these stinky little monkeys are this big. No kidding. They have a form of gorilla, but they sound like chimps, okay? They sound like, oh, they look like this little tiny. Well, they make that big sound just to be big sounding. But they don't have any muscle power to back that up. They start hooting and hollering, and it's just like weird. And then what they do is they scare away most of their predators. Except for one. Can't fake out the giant hawks. They fly through the air majestically and have these great big claws. And you saw eagle there. And so all the other animals hear that, and they're freaked out, and they go running, and they hide. You know, they would normally like to take a piece of, you know, monkey leg home for the kids, but, you know, they hear that sound, they split. But when the big hawks hear it, they go, ooh, it sounds like my dinner bell. They come swooping down, this little monkey, who has a form of gorilla, sounds like a toy, looks like a toy, sounds like a monster. And these giant birds come by with their claws, just snatch them up, take them to their nest, and feed it to their little babies. Now, we want to be real. What we sound like should be what we look like, should be what we demonstrate of the kingdom of God. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Jesus has promised to us great, great power. When I was in India, we were in the jungle there as well, and we think we know what a car is. They think they know what a car is, but their cars and our cars look like two totally different things. The car that we had hired, the doors wouldn't even close. We had time shut with ropes. And we were going through a jungle area, and the car was overheating because it didn't have a radiator cap, because they couldn't find one. And so we just kept pouring water in it. You know, it's like, oh, that's steamy. Time to pull over. Get some water. You know, fill it up. You know, pull into a gas and fill it up. No, not gas. Water. You know, so we could keep going. Well, we broke down in the middle of the jungle, and as we were driving, and we thought we were okay, and it's steamy, he's like, yeah, we got a few more miles by this, and this huge lion jumped out right in front of us. I mean, we had no defense against this creature, because we couldn't even keep the door shut on it. We had to tie it shut with rope, you know. Well, God kept us. We had to get out of the car in the middle of this jungle and fix it, and then we're all like watching for this lion, this beast. God gives us power. It's exciting. Now, the deal is this. We need that power. And as I was reading yesterday, just enjoying some time with the Lord in Ezekiel, and I won't read all of chapter 36 and all of chapter 37 to you, but in those chapters, God is speaking to the mountains. God talks to mountains. And he tells them what's going to happen on them. And then he talks to his prophet. And he said to his prophet, I want you to talk to some bones. I talk to mountains, you talk to bones. So in Ezekiel 37, he starts talking to the bones. And the bones are all dead men's bones. And he prophesies to the bones, and the bones start to come together. And then muscle starts coming on those bones. And then those bones stand up, and they become the mighty army. See, God is a powerful God. He can work in the areas of our lives where there could be death. If you have temptations, which we all do, those are potential areas of death. Let's take a look at what Jesus said in Luke. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. He said unto them, which of you will have a friend? And he goes into great detail here. You know, your friend has unexpected company. He needs 3 loaves of bread. And so he gets up in the middle of the night and comes knocking on your door, and you are sleeping. And if you understand how they slept, their houses were, probably from that wall to about here, you know, pretty much a square rectangle. And they all slept on the floor. Mom, dad, kids, everybody. And the dad, you know, did not want to have to get up at that end because he guards the door. Then the kitchen was just a raised platform, you know, on the other side, with a little hearth there. Step over all of his kids and go get this guy bread. But he did it anyhow. Why? Not because he was his friend. Because he wanted to get rid of the guy. He kept knocking on the door. You know? And so Jesus tells us this in other stories, so we will be persistent. Listen to what he says in verse 9. I say unto you, ask and shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now today, do you have a need to be knocking on on God's door for a new source of power, Holy Spirit power in your life. Do you have that need today?
Only from you.
Raise your hand if you want more power from God. You might need it to get along with your brother and sister, be nicer to your mom and dad, get that higher band grade that you need, have victory over temptation. For sure. So let's see what it says. Because the kingdom of God is not just a bunch of words I'm going to share with you tonight. It's not a bunch of words written on a piece of paper. The gospel is not in words, but in power. And so we must demonstrate that. For everyone that asks receives, and he shall seek and find, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Get this now. He's reasoning with us. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will the father give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give a fish to him? If he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? The answer is no. Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, get this, give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? The Holy Spirit is our source of power. Without Him, we can do nothing. So this morning, I'd like for us to ask. That is simply what Scripture says. They have nothing to it. I haven't tried to concoct this idea, put it together just right. It's just that Jesus came. He said, I'm going to go to my Father, and He's going to send a Comforter. He told them to wait at Jerusalem. They waited. They got the Holy Spirit power. And then in Acts 2, 5, He says, it's not just for you guys. It's for everybody that shall come forth in this earth whom my Father chooses. We looked at that ancient seed. It germinates, and the soil is ripe. Finally, today, we can prepare the soil of our hearts. There might be some stones in it you need to be taken out. There might be some weeds growing there, some things maybe you involved yourself in you need to get free of. You can pull those weeds. You can take some steps today because God has given you a free will to do so. So we're going to pray together, and I believe God wants to give us new power. Do you believe that today? Can you say, I've got the power? Let's say it again. I've got the power. Amen. You can't sit down and say that. You have to stand up because you're sitting down. Somebody can come by and just push on you and knock you over. But if you're standing up, you can back up and you can, you know, shift your weight around. Let's stand up together. We're far more powerful standing than we're sitting. All right? Let's say it again. I've got the power. Amen. God has given or made available to you the power. You're smiling when you say it. It feels a little funny. Feels a little odd, but it is the truth. So today, if you want that power, let's raise our hands, okay? And I love raising my hands because it makes like this giant cup, you know, and I feel empty. And it's like, Lord, fill me up. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this great day that you've given to us. It's a day that you have made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. We are to hear your voice. Faith comes by hearing. And I think we may have heard from you today. You've spoken to us about our personal need for power. And as each one has a slip of paper, I pray that they pray for that person, and that as they pray for others, they themselves will be filled with this new power. So we ask you, according to your word, for the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name, give us your power, we pray. Your grace is made available to the humble. So we humble ourselves by recognizing this great need. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody who wants it said, amen. 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 Praise God.